Mike, thank you so much for having us here today. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm amazed at the property and shocked that you're only 5 years old. It looks like this has been here for a long, long time. Tell folks where exactly we are in relation to the valley.
Okay, so it has been here for a long, long time.
Okay.
This barn was built in 1916. The property was developed in the 1800s. I wasn't around. So we are in the North Valley of Napa Valley,
mm-hmm.
at the intersection of Lark Mead and Silverado Trail.
Okay.
And the beautiful town of Calistoga.
I was just going to say just south of Calistoga.
Yep, yep.
And you started the winery how long ago?
My wife and I bought the property out of bankruptcy in May of 2011.
And did the bankruptcy stem from the 07, 08, 09 global economic collapse and housing crisis?
No, it stemmed from somebody borrowing too much money and not paying it back and thinking the terms are net never.
Net never. It's a familiar payment plan.
I don't know I shouldn't jest because I don't know the individual. And it was tragic because it had been in their family in excess of 100 years. And they had purchased it from the Hitchcock family, which owned a lot of the land up here in Northern California or up in the valley, from the Spanish land grant.
Okay.
And that was, you know, 200-300 years ago. Their daughter was Lily Hitchcock Coit, so Coit Tower, same
okay.
people.
Wow.
And so they hired the Saviers in the 1800s to be a manager of the vineyards and farming, and they ended up carving this property off in about 1908, where it was purchased by them.
Well, you obviously have built now one of the most impressive wineries we've ever seen, but
thank
that
you.
Just doesn't happen overnight. So how did you get into wine?
I think it started in college because, you know, I went to Indiana University.
Okay.
Went there to...
Big wine community in Bloomington.
Huge, huge. You know, Annie Green Springs, you know, Matus, Mad Dog
right,
2020.
Exactly.
You know, those were... We thought we were sophisticated when we were drinking those wines back in 1970. But... they needed a discus thrower, and I was from California and was known by some people at Cal who eventually transferred to Indiana.
Okay.
And I fell in love with the state. I loved the people and ended up going to school there and getting a bachelor's. And I can teach American history, and I
fantastic.
Had a minor in business.
There's a need for that these days.
Yeah. But I, you know, I love people, and I ended up getting into business and did very well in sales and eventually started a computer company in the garage, and my wife and I, in 1989. And
in California?
In Southern California, in Huntington Beach.
That seemed to be the thing to do. I think there's a few other companies that have started in garages in California.
Some company called Hewlett Packard.
Hewlett, a couple of guys, and there's a
Apple,
fruit.
Yeah. And, I don't know, people like that, you know.
Not a bad path to pave.
I mean, well, I got in the computer industry, thought it was a fad, and, you know, thought, well, it's lucrative, so I hope it doesn't end, and... It didn't, and we ended up selling the company in 2010.
Oh, wow.
And we had looked at property up here and started buying property in 2010, 11, and 12, because fortunately, you know, we were in the right place. The economy was in the toilet,
mm-hmm.
and there were a lot of just amazing properties for sale, this being one of them. So, you know, I had an opportunity to put this together, and being... going to school in Bloomington, Indiana, I fell in love with this barn.
Right.
And it just spoke to me. And, you know, there's a quarter mile of Silverado Trail frontage right out here. It's in the North Valley. They have some amazing vineyards up here and get, you know, 100-point wines up in this area.
Quite a few
so
of them.
So put it together, and I said, you know, let's do this.
What was the leap, because I'm sure it had to be drastic, from Matus to world-class Cabernet?
I call it OPM.
Other people's money.
Other people's money. So you get in business and you start going out and having dinners and you have Burgundies and Bordeaux and Cabernets and Pinots and Cab Francs, and I couldn't go back to Mad Dog 2020 anymore. And so you develop it. I developed a taste for great wines. I prefer Cabernets and Bordeaux blends. And as a result, had a pretty good wine collection, learned a lot about wine. The reality is I grew up in San Mateo, about two
okay.
hours south of here.
Sure.
And we didn't have money, so we'd go camping during the summertime. And, you know, 9, 10 years old, coming up here and fishing and hunting and riding, you know, horseback and things. I love Napa. And then, you know, you have a date and you come up here and drink wine and go to the spas. And that's a lot more fun than riding horses.
For both of you.
It was a... it was a very good relationship between all of us. In fact, my wife and I were up here 41 years ago on a date. We were coming up the Napa, and right over the hill here is Sterling. And we were having a wine and looking out over the valley, unbeknownst, and it's like, wouldn't this be cool to do someday if we retire?
And she said yes?
Well, I hadn't even asked her to marry me yet. It was just a date. So,
but she was into the hospitality and the wine growing and the grape growing and the wine production, or was that more sales?
She is into wine.
Okay, so there's a...
And the consumption of.
Aren't
and
we
so
all?
And so am I.
Exactly.
I can drink a pretty good bottle of wine.
And this dream manifested, so you got the property during kind of an auction sale, if you will. I mean,
correct.
The timing was right.
Correct.
But this property, and I don't want to sugarcoat this barn. The barn is phenomenal, but it's just one of a half dozen or more pieces of phenomenal architecture on the property.
Well, it didn't look like this.
No,
so
that takes
where
some
the
vision.
Fireplace is, that was a basically an ice room.
Okay.
And then there was a slaughterhouse next to it. So the soil and the ambiance and the fragrance were not conducive to wine tasting. And, you know, because it was built in 1916, it was over 100 years old.
No.
So, I mean, basically the trilogy of what happened is that fell in with the property, bought it, and it was like a dog that chased a car. I caught it. Now what do I do?
Right.
And I got a call from a gentleman named Kerry Gott.
Yep.
And so I knew pieces and parts of winemaking. I didn't know how to do it, but, you know, I'm smart enough to know I'm not that smart.
Right. Exactly.
So let's hire some really good people that know what they're doing. And so as a result, Kerry was that kind of center point that brought everything and knitted it all together for us.
Did you sit down and say, here's what I'm after, here's the vision I have?
Yes.
And then where did that vision originate from? Was it all of the experiences tasting Burgundy, Bordeaux, coming up here, and then you had a grand master plan in your head that needed to come out? How did all that happen?
So the property spoke to me.
Right.
Because it's just this magnificent piece of property, you know, up here on the Vaca side of the mountains.
Yep.
And so, you know, we had to put the winery into the hillside through the view because the Mayacamas are over there and Mother Nature gives us a spectacular view every single day and a sunset that's unbelievable every night. And then to put those pieces and parts together, I love the old barn, the old board and batten. I wanted to carry that as a theme throughout the whole facility, make it look like it's been here for 50 to 60 years. But then it's understated elegance. So you're right. The previous experience of my wife and I having wine tasting and knowing what we liked and what we didn't like, and we wanted to create an environment and an experience for people where walk in the door, welcome to our family room, not our living room. We're not that formal.
Right.
Come on in. It's understated elegance. Be our guest. Let us take care of you.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that is unique already that I've noticed is it's by appointment only. But one of the things I love that you do is that each wine pairing has food.
It's an option.
Okay.
You can come in, and if you want to make an appointment and have wine only, that is available. But our feeling is our philosophy is that, you know, wine alone is great. Wine and food is better. Wine, food, friends, and family is the best.
By an executive chef with million-dollar views.
We wanted it. It's about an experience. I mean, we wanted to have something that is just not sitting here in a closed environment that's boring. Special delivery out there.
I ordered that. How loud was that on the microphone?
It's a Harley with, you know, not much of a muffler.
I was going to say cut off tailpipes.
Not much of a muffler.
I'll tease that out of you again. So the view we're talking about is $1 million, but the experience and the tasting experience that people can actually opt in for with regards to food from an executive chef, whose brilliant idea was that?
I think it was a culmination of the entire team. So when we started designing the winery, Howard Backen is our architect, and John Taft and Michael Bowes were extremely influential in the whole process. And the thought was that someday we'd like to serve food with the wine. So the thought was there. But it was like we wanted to ease into it. So we had a gentleman named Frederique design the kitchen for us. Mm-hmm. And we put it into the plan. And, you know, the plan went together. And then we went in front of Napa. And, you know, they approved it. They liked what we were doing. And then we started building it, and it took us about 4 years to put it together with the premise of eventually we're going to have food. So we started off with just wine, then we had cheese and crackers. And within about 3 or 4 months, we decided that, you know, let's bring a chef in. And we brought Mark Caldwell in. We hired him about 10 pounds ago. And
so that could be time-wise, that 6 months is that.
It was successful yet detrimental in a way.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened was is that we found that by pairing food, it was just so much of a more lofted experience, and people really enjoyed themselves. And Mark's, I don't know if you've had a chance to taste his foods, they're phenomenal. And he does it, you know, like clockwork, every 6 weeks, brand new menu. And I think he's got a more difficult environment because you go to a restaurant and you say, okay, here is the menu, sir, and the sommelier says, well, I would like to pair that Chateaubriand with this Bordeaux.
Right.
We go to Mark. Here, Mark, here's the wines we're going to serve. You pair the food with the wines. And I think he's got a much more challenging job.
Sure. I like that. And we've said it for years, wine by itself, the American has been known to drink a glass or two or more without food.
One or two, yes.
But it's with the right food pairing, it's 1 + 1 = 3.
Correct.
And it sounds like Mark is doing a phenomenal job in that.
He really is. He did such a good job, I bought him a brand new set of knives.
What chef doesn't want a brand new set of cutlery?
You'd think I bought my wife a new set of Christian Louis Vuitton shoes.
So when people come up, or a corporate business books a private event, which is ideal for here, what do you want them to go away feeling?
That they had a wonderful experience, that they really enjoyed the wine, and they can take that wine and that experience and share it with their friends and family when they get home.
It makes sense to me. And at only 10,000 cases, the production's quite limited.
Yeah, I think we're up to like 13, 14,000 now.
Okay.
Which is, you know, like a grain of sand at the beach compared to some of the wineries around here.
Some of the neighbors, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
Anything that you want to grow beyond or do next? Not that you're resting on your laurels. I mean, this is a pretty spectacular piece of property.
Well, we got affected very dramatically by the fires.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a guest house down here below the barn, and it burnt down. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to work with the county of Napa and see if we can put a garden and a garden experience down there for wine tasting.
Very nice.
So we're way ahead of ourselves because we're supposed to meet with the planters tomorrow.
Okay, good.
So if you see this, it's not happening just yet.
Yeah, don't plan on the garden experience just yet. All right, what else? Yeah, there was a lot of background noise. I don't know.
I'm not worried about it.
Okay.
Oh, it's okay.
We can talk about, you know, the artwork. We can talk about some of the, like the skull, that Kugel ball that's out in front.
Yeah, I got to bring
that.
That
is so much fun.
Okay.
And the opening door experience, maybe hit some of those too.
Well, it's in that, and you can ask me about, you know, what were some of your thoughts? How do you want to create the experience? And I can talk about, we love reveals, where we open the door and it's that ta-da type of moment.
Boggles my mind, the reveals here. So, you ready? Rolling?
Yeah, let's kick it up.
One of the things that I'm impressed by is behind essentially every door at this property, and there are a lot of them, it is something that you don't expect. So, you call them the big reveals. Where did that come from? I mean, were you a Monty Hall fan growing up and behind curtain number one? Let's make a deal, or I don't understand how that manifests into this property, but you pulled it off magically.
I did like Monty Hall.
Okay, good.
Was never on the show. But no, I think that comes from, you know, people like to experience surprises on a positive way.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like, and so we try to incorporate that. So as you pull in the parking lot, the doors that enter the main winery are all made out of steel and they're opaque. We don't want you to see what we have until we open the doors. And then it's an emotional response, a positive one.
Sure.
But you have this beautiful view of the Northern Napa Valley and the Mayacamas when you open the door. The other reveal is, you know, the big one is downstairs, where we were building the winery. I came from Silicon Valley,
okay,
in the sense that we were in the computer and high-tech business. I mean, you know, there's a lot of guys down there that can buy me and sell me with pocket change. Mm. So they can go anywhere and do anything in the world. So what do we do to impress them? So the thought, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning as we were building the winery. It wasn't even on the plans. And the motivation was a Rolls-Royce hubcap, because a Rolls-Royce hubcap is round,
mm-hmm,
and it's got an octagon nut on it. So I thought, well, we'll make a room at the back of the cave. It's, you know, 250 feet back, 100 feet underground. We'll make it round with portals for artwork. It's specifically designed to store wine and age wine. This is our phase 5 wine,
right,
which is made by Philippe Melka. But how do I open the door? And we looked at several opportunities, key fob, this and that, and then I found out Fujitsu made an infrared biometric scanner that scans the palm of your hand and your vein pattern. And then we use Java code to put code in there to say, open the door, turn the lights on, and the music comes up. And it really is stunning.
Based upon the vein scan?
Yes.
So could you link certain songs to certain veins?
You probably could. I'm not going to spend that much money to develop software, though.
Fujitsu would love to have you want to do that, right?
No, it's programmers. And right now, programmers are making about $350,000 out of college as their first job. And that's right, too expensive versus, you know, I could trade them a bottle of wine for $100.
Well, and you're right with regards to there being a lot of caves in the valley.
Correct.
And a lot of them have different openings. This is by far and away the most unique, special opening we've ever seen.
It came to me at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just started jotting things down. And originally, I wanted to make the structure, and it's called the jewel box. It's called a cellarium, mm-hmm, C-E-L-L-A-R-I-U-M, and it is a glass octagon. That's the octagon from the nut from the Rolls Royce.
Right.
And it's made out of glass and steel. Originally, I was thinking about wood, and then Howard Backen said, no, it's underground, it's industrial, it's structural, make it out of steel, and he was absolutely right. And then the chandelier that's in there is made by a company called Hudson out of New York. And I'd seen that probably 3 decades ago at a show. And it just, you know, it's...
Spoke to you.
2,000 stainless steel chains that are hanging down. It's about 700 pounds. And it's just, here again, dramatic. So the reveal is you open the door, lights come up, and we'd like to play Andrea Bocelli for that. Mm-hmm. And then the box and the glass and the wine and the caves, and it all kind of comes together.
Even walking into the winery, you have a metal leaf holding a, I'm just going to call it a concrete ball.
So,
but I'm sure it has a fancier name than that.
It's called a Kugelball, K-U-G-A-L.
I got the ball part right.
And in German, that means ball, so it's a ball. I'd seen it, we'd put it in a previous building that we had, and it just spoke because I love symmetry and balance.
Mm-hmm.
So between the barn, that's the same size as our offices, and then the winery that's in the middle, it's all very symmetrical. So in the middle of that, we had a Cabernet Sauvignon leaf cut into 8-inch thick green granite. And it's a red ball from South Africa. It's a red granite ball. It's 14 PSI, 6 gallons a minute. It lifts the 5,000 pound ball and it rotates it. And it's an artistic design, and it's a piece of art that's a replication, representative of a grape and a leaf. That's it, that's all it does.
Oh, it's eye-catching and it's captivating.
It's, you know, there's something that just draws you in.
Mm-hmm.
It's between the water and the rotation. It's just cool.
And mesmerizing. So it
absolutely,
it's beautiful. Like everything here, including the wine, it's spectacular.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for having us.